Brian Had a Dream, 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome once again to the quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. In this episode, we come again to a preview review, episode 8, The Last Jedi. We will talk about our feelings going into this film, make some predictions. At the end, we'll probably do a lot of spoilers and talk about all the shenanigans that go on in these here Star Wars. We still would love for you to join along with us in a conversation, drop us questions, ideas for future episodes by going to Twitter at 10K Movies, T-E-N-K Movies, or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Brian, what are your feelings going into this movie?
It snuck up on me. I don't have quite the level of anticipation. I mean, I'm excited, but it's not quite the same level of excitement as The Force Awakens.
I remember last year you were very excited. It had more snuck up on me, and I was indifferent a little bit going in. Mm-hmm. This one, I'm much more excited to see. I wouldn't say I'm at the level you were for Episode 7, but really intrigued to see where this story goes next. The trailers to me have been really interesting and curious. I think have been expertly edited to get people talking about some things that I definitely don't think are going to happen in this movie, but I'm really excited about it, more so than I was, more anticipatory than I was, although I wouldn't say I'm just kind of overwhelmed, because like you, it was almost like, yeah, looking at the calendar and being like, oh yeah, episode 8 is coming out this week.
But I'm excited about the movie. I haven't read a lot, but heard nothing but good things, so I'm anticipating it'll be a solid 2.5 hours. I'm a little perturbed at the length. I think they need to shorten these things down, get them under 2, and a lot of times I think that self-indulgence usually, not always, but usually leads to a poorer film.
Well, it tends to be plotting and pacing is usually one of the criticisms that we have. And I think that is exactly what you're talking about, tying into the length of the film. It does become an issue. And usually the idea is that, you know, if you can be more concise, it is better.
Yeah. I understand some of the timing thing is a business decision. There are factors beyond the artistic vision of Ryan Johnson. They've probably given him a very kind of inflexible guideline for this is how long the movie's going to be. So, not all of it's about what's best for the movie. Some of it's what's best for Disney.
The other thing to me that you have to watch out for, be alert with, cautious with for this film is an impulse to maybe try a little too hard. Now, like you, all the advanced reviews have been really good and have said that, but I think also, again, that longer runtime, some of what's going on, it's almost like you're trying to top the stuff that came before. Inherently, you're trying to make things cooler. And at some point, maybe not in this movie, but at some point, there's going to be a law of diminishing returns with that. Have they left themselves any other room to grow, or to expand, or to do other things that are cool?
I like... Yeah, you don't want this movie to box in episode 9 or other movies in a way in which they can't maximize their potential because of a mistake or something that you did here that kind of tied them in. And this is even more true than in something like the Marvel movies, because those movies are, they're interconnected, but they really are their own thing. So you do have a lot more freedom to do what you want to do. You just got to hit high points. But in this movie, you're dealing with the same characters over and over and over again. So if they do something with this character, you can't undo it. You're stuck with it.
What other things are you really intrigued with or excited to see?
I am insanely curious to see how Leia is handled in this movie. I'm really curious to see if you can see the seams as to how they dealt with her death. Like, if you can tell that the movie was going to go this way, but now it's swerving in this direction, and if you can see where that line was, because, you know what I'm saying? Because I imagine it had to be a lot of high-level discussions about what do we do, you know, and how do we do it in a way that is respectful of her, also respectful of the story that we want to tell. It can propel the movie and give it a new kind of depth and sort of a subtext that wasn't there before. And in this movie, you know, that could, to me at least, I don't think it does based on what I've read, but that to me could be where the movie goes off the rails.
So with the few minutes that we have left to go into the movie before we end this preview part of the podcast, let's go to some predictions we have. Brian, what do you have first?
Well, I'm gonna start off with my smallest prediction. I'm gonna predict, just because I think it's a fun little guessing game, I'm gonna say that Poe is the one who gets to say, "I've got a bad feeling about this."
Ooh, I like that. I like starting small and yet profound for the Star Wars mythos and narrative. I'm going to go a little bit bigger and a little more meta in some ways and talk about just the reaction to this film. My sense is, my prediction is this going to be the most polarizing Star Wars film, where there will be legitimate arguments perhaps to be had on either side that this movie is either one of the two best Star Wars movie, or it just has too many kind of WTF moments that people are just kind of turned off by some of it. And there'll be cogent arguments on either side. It's not just going to be trolling or, you know, over eager fanboys just thinking it's the best thing ever. There'll be legitimate, comprehensible arguments on both sides of that debate. So that's my first prediction. What's your second prediction, Brian?
Well, I'm gonna we talked about this earlier, but I'm gonna shift gears a little bit. It's gonna be clear by the end of this movie that they are positioning Finn into being that swashbuckler smartass that Han was in the first seven movies. The first movies, that Finn is gonna be obviously Han's heir apparent by the end of this movie.
I'm a little surprised to hear you say that, because the most natural fit
would be Poe.
You'd think would be Poe. And actually, this isn't a prediction per se, but I think Poe is maybe the character people will talk a lot about, just because I think Oscar Isaacs is going to get more screen time for sure. But that's an interesting thought. That will be interesting to see how, again, they handle that dynamic.
I'm really curious, because there wasn't, to me, there was, at the end of Star Wars A New Hope, there was a clear romantic triangle, and it was there, and granted, it was problematic, as we found soon enough. One set of that should not have been part of that triangle, but, you know, at the time, at the end of that movie, it's clear, hey, they both like this girl, she's not sure which one she likes. I got none of that. From a very little, but it didn't feel plausible or real that Rey was interested in either Finn or Poe. I didn't feel that the way I did in the movie.
Sure. I will disagree a little bit, and this will take me to my actual second prediction. I think if there was any sort of triangle, and maybe not a romantic one, but at least a relational one, it was between Daisy and the friendship she had with Finn, and this weird chemistry synergy with Kylo Ren. That was sort of the relational triangle. Again, maybe not a romantic one, but that she sort of had to choose there at the end. Is it going to be Finn? Is it going to be Kylo? You know, learn the ways of the Force, or, you know, defend my friend and that sort of thing. And that leads me into my prediction. I'm going to go bold with this. This may be completely horribly wrong. Even as I say it out loud, I know it sounds crazy. I think at the end of the movie, Kylo Ren will be aligned with Rey for the Force of Light against the First Order, and that Luke may somehow come under the influence of Snoke and whatever forces he's playing with. So there will be a role reversal at the end of this movie, where Luke is essentially a bad guy, and Kylo, hard to think of him as a good guy since he killed Han Solo, but is going to maybe be on some kind of redemptive path.
It worked for Snape.
did work for Snape, and a little bit of resemblance between Snape and Adam Driver under that mask. So, third prediction for you, Brian.
Okay, at the end of this movie, for good or bad, there will be no more theories. We will know with certainty who Snoke is. Because I know that has dominated a lot of the online chatter as to, like, Snoke's origin, who is Snoke, and all that. You know, you got crazy theories from everything from Jar Jar to whatever. But Snoke, that'll be settled. That won't be a question going for the next 2 years.
I like that. I like that. And that will definitely be interesting to see. Personally, I think they might tease out both that and Rey's parents question a little bit longer, but it would be very satisfying if either one of those questions gets answered. My third prediction, I'm just going to double down. I think a droid is going to bite it in one of these movies. We did see it in Rogue One. We did see it in Rogue One, but you know, a main droid character is going to die. I think a death that would have great resonance would be R2-D2.
I agree with you.
R2-D2 is going to be defunct, positioning BB-8 as the droid the next generation will love and adore forever. As I said before we recorded, Han Solo is to Rey as R2-D2 is to BB-8. So we'll double down on my prediction, a droid dies. Well, it's time to see if what we predicted is going to come to pass and to see what we couldn't even thought of happening, how it plays out too. So Brian and I are going to go get some popcorn and go watch episode 8 over the next 2.5+ hours, because we've got to have those good trailers. And then we'll be back here to tell you what we've seen. Spoiler alert, we'll be talking about those on the other side.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, we are now back from episode 8, The Last Jedi. My initial takeaway is two of my three predictions were absolutely wrong. The most polarizing prediction, I feel like that one's right on. I don't know how to feel exactly about this film. It's a little overwhelming. Feels like it could have used a little more time in the editing room. I don't know that I had a whole lot of fun, although there were some fun moments in the film. What do you think, Brian?
There were some really good moments. There were some really bad moments. The good was really good, but, you know, I'm with you. It's going to take a while to process it.
We should say that what is following will be a lot of spoilers. So if you have not seen episode 8 yet, you're going to be spoiled. Where I kind of want to start is with the plot, and that I don't kind of know exactly where to start with the plot. There was just a little bit of this movie that felt like it was, to me anyways, trying really hard. There was some dynamic moments, but also very static moments. I mean, most of the movie is them just sitting in orbit while they kind of the characters work out their own issues.
Well, there were too many threads. Okay, way too many threads.
Yeah, you had the casino planet thread, you had Poe kind of doing a mutiny and trying to learn what it really means to be a hero and a leader. You had all the stuff going on.
Ray goes off, and you had a lot of stuff on the Death Star.
You had the weird, kind of cool at times, like Kylo and Ray talking through the Force.
Which, why has this never happened before?
Because they're the two most powerful, they're the next generation.
Well, and I say this too, and I had seen something that alluded to this before we went in. The Finn Rose plot was worthless. Like, it accomplished nothing. It was just a random waste of time for nothing. I mean, what was the purpose of it? I mean, what did it accomplish?
I think it was to establish a relationship again,
to introduce her, but it was
a little needlessly convoluted. It also introduced the element at the very end. You know, one of the many themes of this movie, I think, was about legends and how they inspire and lead and that sort of thing. And so you go back to that planet with the kind of Luke Skywalker. Now that Luke really is a legend, one with the Force.
Yeah. Well, the worst moment, and I think you'll agree, was Leia flying through space.
Yes, we have to talk about
that.
That
is absolutely stupid.
There were a number of pieces of this movie that owe a debt to The Matrix.
The end where
Luke's Force projection, dodges Kylo Ren, Mary
Matrix time. Yeah.
But Leia flying through space like...
in a vacuum.
Neo...
She's out there.
Movie.
She's cold at this point, and she's like, "Not yet."
That was odd. What I thought she was going to do is like bring the bridge all back.
Even then, I understand what they're doing, but considering that Leia has never been a Force user at all, to all of a sudden throw that out there then feels really cheap.
Just felt odd. There are also places in the movie. I guess we're just going to talk about our things that just made us go, "What?" There are many places in the movie where, like, there were so many characters too. Yeah. You're like, "Where's this person now? Where's this person? Where's the Millennium Falcon?" Like, they just dropped Rey off, but the Millennium Falcon hasn't been like anywhere. Like, what's going on? Who is this? Where is this? It really, again, a case of trying to do too much.
Well, and even Luke's
to me,
even Luke's Force projection at the end. We've never seen that before where you can, like, physically force yourself out there. I mean, if that's the case, why does Snoke use those hologram things? Why did the Emperor use those? Why didn't they just force themselves? I mean, it just comes out of nowhere, and it's never been established. It feels real tricky, and it feels like a sucker punch to the audience. Not just to Kylo, but we got sucker punched, which is a little unfair.
Maybe a little bit. I will say, you mentioned Snoke, so I'll do this. I'm still trying to sort out, because I think I appreciate what maybe they were trying to do, but I think places where people will feel let down, or if it turns out that it was a red herring where people will feel later also misled to, is the two big mysteries people had coming out of Episode 7 were who were Rey's parents and who is Snoke. And it was almost like the movie said, you know what, let go of that, it doesn't matter, quit worrying about it, there's other stuff to be focused on and inspired by. And be imaginative
but
with.
That's not really...
Because Rey's parents said they're nobodies, and Snoke dies, which we'll get to that actually being kind of a cool thing, but just dies, and you don't really even know who he is, what his motivations were. And if it turns out later they reveal or fill that back in some way, that just strikes me as, I knew what they were doing. It's not necessarily a letdown personally for me, but it's a place where I think the movie will receive.
Well, and I think when you say those questions don't matter, well, then why did you set us up for those questions in the previous film? I mean, that feels like you can't have it both ways. You can't say these don't really matter, you shouldn't obsess about them. But you're the reason we're obsessing about them. Like, if Rey's parents didn't matter, then why spend the whole first movie trying to figure out who her parents are and not resolve it? It would have been super easy to have had that happen at the end of the first film, and then it would have been, you know, a complete story. But it feels like... And I don't really believe they are nobody. I believe that he is trying to trick her. Because, I mean, why should we trust Kylo Ren at that moment? So I don't believe that. And also, like, I don't know how I feel about just a person that strong in the Force just showing up again. I mean, that feels like the prequels all over again, right?
Right. We sat through this movie, and I'm not sure what... it accomplished other than giving Mark Hamill some screen time and clearing the deck maybe for this new generation. One of the things you said to me walking out of the theater was it was obvious that they were trying to
kill
Han in Episode 7. Luke dies in this one. And Leia...
You have to believe that Leia was slated to die in Episode 9. And you have to believe that was supposed to be somebody's idea of, like, grand symbolism, how one by one they all fade away and they all go on. But, you know, and now, A, you can debate whether or not that is foolhardy and kind of trite to begin with. I seem to think it was. But also, now, with that opportunity with Carrie Fisher's death, that what is the emotional core of the next film without, you know, because I assume that it was supposed to be tied around somehow her sacrifice. Well, now you're in a completely different, you know, world, and it's going to be I don't know.
It's the just, other thing that I was...
I guess Chewie can die.
Disappointed in... Yeah. The other thing I was disappointed in was the... Because of all the plot threads, the lack of screen time that John Boyega and Daisy Ridley had together is Rey and Finn. Their relationship, sort of a core one in Episode 7, really, just at the very end, it gets touched on again.
Yeah.
And that's a disappointment to me. You know, again, it advanced the plot some for... really who's supposed to be our main hero, but it was odd because even Rey was more prominent, I felt, in Episode 7 than in Episode
That's
8.
That's true.
I feel like this movie, more than anybody's...
Was Poe's.
Poe, maybe, on that side, and Kylo Ren...
Oh, it was definitely Kylo Ren.
I think it was definitely Kylo Ren.
Well, and Luke's movie. It was Luke's movie. Luke, Kylo Ren, and Poe are your three main characters from it. I will say this, I thought going in I would hate the Porgs. The Porgs were actually used sparingly and used effectively. I thought that was well done. The introduction of the, like, nuns that are watching, that very well done. That's the example of the kind of humor we needed. Like I said, the smart aleck, snarky, and there was a lot of it. A lot of little lines back at people where people were kind of sassy. You know, and that's not Star Wars, really. I don't think it is. I feel like it's a little... too much, too edgy for Star Wars, the humor-wise, so.
Okay, so we've kind of vented on some of what we didn't understand. Again, like I predicted, I think this movie is going to be polarizing. At least it was for us. Now, there were some moments that were very cool
top-notch.
And very good. The visuals and the effects on multiple levels, I thought, were really, really well done. Especially... when the cruiser goes into hyperdrive into the Star Destroyer.
Really cool.
Just the way that was shot and done with the silence and that was pretty magnificent. The little bit with Yoda was really good. Thought that might happen because there had been...
Frank Oz had been
Frank
around.
Frank Oz it was at
the
premiere.
And the throwback to Leia from New Hope, also very good.
That was really good.
Very well done.
I liked the
That's
symmetry.
That's the kind of stuff we could use more of.
I liked the symmetry where Luke, you know, when he first meets Rey, says, imagine that. Three things you said that are all wrong. And that comes back up again in the
like
final
that.
Battle with Kylo Ren.
Like
and his... monologue there.
Monologuing.
With the you know, the rebellion is alive, the war's just beginning, I'm not the last Jedi. That was really powerful and strong.
It
felt like it was a little over dramatic.
I will say this too. For a movie that's 2.5 hours, I don't understand why the little tacked on scene at the end, really unnecessary and really sort of... I mean, I would have preferred it to either end with the resistance or else end with Luke's speech or something like that, or kind of get that, build to that moment and then go da and go out. I also got to say, you know, the resistance, man, I don't know how they think they're going to win with 12 people versus an entire army seems a little...
Can we
say too, they decimated them a little too much.
I had no idea the Millennium Falcon was that big.
That's true.
To be able to house that many people, I have no idea.
But it feels like they decimated it beyond, you know.
No idea. I'm going to go the other way. I kind of liked that end scene. I think again, I know where they were going.
I know what they were doing. They were making Luke into even driving home the point that Luke's a legend.
And I kind of like that because I didn't like if they had just sort of ended it with just them flying off in space. That would have been a little odd.
One of my predictions was about. Who would say...
I've got a bad feeling.
And I didn't hear it, but I looked it up on the internet in the brief time we've been since, and apparently they are arguing, or the director is arguing, it's in there. BB-8 says it. That is incredibly disingenuous. But supposedly, like at the very beginning of the movie, when BB-8 says something and Poe says, positive feelings on, buddy, supposedly he's responding to him having said, I've got a bad feeling about this.
The movie I did like
came across to me
BB-8.
As if he was cussing.
I did like BB-8 much more in this film. Again,
sometimes BB-8's a little too cute.
I think they are positioning again him as the main sort of droid attraction. I do still think a droid is going to die before we get to the end of episode 9. You know, the end of the episode 7, I was like, oh, this is going somewhere. Oh, this is
cool. You have no idea where it's going.
And just now. Here, it just, I'm just a little more, I just don't know.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, if it ends, as a lot of people seem to think it will, with Ben Solo's redemption, do you buy it? Do you like it? Do you want that?
I think they, if their intent was to say, this is not going to go the same way as the original trilogy, they did a mighty fine job of doing that.
So, well, can you kill him? I mean, if you kill, either way, if he's redeemed or if he's killed, don't you, doesn't it feel, I don't know, I just don't know what you can do with him. I mean, because he's the last, since Leia we know is gone because Carrie Fisher died, he's the last Skywalker, period. Like, that's it. There's no more Skywalkers hiding out somewhere. It's Ben Solo, and then that line is dead and gone. So I don't know. It feels weird to think of a Star Wars world without a Skywalker in it.
And that's just a good way, I think, to end this podcast. Just episode 8 just felt really weird. We did spend more time talking about some of the parts that made us scratch our heads more than the parts that were really cool. Again, the scene where Kylo and Rey fight together.
Awesome.
That was pretty awesome. That's worth price admission. The movie still, I would say, better than the prequels on the whole.
Well, I'll say this. It's a better movie, but it doesn't, they at least felt like Star Wars. This is probably a better movie, but it felt less like Star Wars than any of the other movies we've been to.
So, it's a film that we may just have to process over and over again and think about a lot. Listeners, tell us what you think on Twitter at 10kmovies, Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Weird, good, great, top Star Wars movie of all time, or somewhere in the middle. Until next time, we hope that your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.